John chapter 17, beginning in verse 14, Jesus says, I have given them, and he's speaking here about his apostles, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Now, he's going to begin to pray for us. He's been praying for his apostles. Now he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. If correctly read, that's John 17, 14 through 23. The main thought that's on my heart this morning is the prayer that Jesus made for the people of God, for believers in Jesus Christ, for the believers to be one. The prayer of Jesus was that we would be united together, that the people of God, that the saints of God would not be split and divided and that there be schisms in the body of Christ, but rather that there would be unity in the body of Christ. The Word of God makes this statement in Psalm 133 and verse 1. You know this verse by heart. Don't need to turn there. The Word of God says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The unity and peace that the people of God ought to have, the unity that the disciples ought to have, the oneness that the people of God ought to have, takes the love of God. The only way the people of God can be united in the truth is for God to help us to labor for that unity. Unity is not something that will remain unless the people that are involved are working toward trying to keep that unity. Jesus makes this statement in John 13, 35. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. That's not love, just feeling love in your heart. But if you're manifesting love one to another, that's the way people know that you are disciples of Christ. That's part of the way that the true church of Jesus Christ is identified, is that there is unity in the body. And when there begins to be schisms in the body, when there begins to be division in the body, then it is essential that the people of God work and labor together to restore the unity that is necessary in order to be the church of Jesus Christ. The people of God were told in the Old Testament that when the kingdom of heaven came and when the church of Jesus Christ was established, the people of God were told that when that day came in the New Jerusalem and in the church, that there would be great unity such as had not ever been experienced before. The Word of God teaches that when the kingdom of heaven comes, that when the New Jerusalem came, that there would not be divisions in the New Jerusalem. Therefore, we know that when we are having divisions, we know that we are out of the kingdom of heaven. You cannot be in the kingdom of heaven and have friction in the kingdom of heaven. There is always unity in the kingdom of heaven. Those who are in the kingdom of heaven are united together. They love each other, and there is nothing but love and appreciation for them while we are in the kingdom of heaven. First of all, notice in Isaiah chapter 52, I want you to see that there was prophecy that when the kingdom of heaven or New Jerusalem came, that there would be great unity in the kingdom of heaven. The people of God that are walking in the light of the Lord, the people of God who are serving God, the people of God that are walking in the light of God's Word, they are united together in the kingdom of heaven. In Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 1, Isaiah 52 verse 1, the Word of God says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city." You notice now, we're not talking about the natural Jerusalem. We're talking about the new Jerusalem, the holy city, the new Jerusalem. He says, "For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean." You remember how James 4 says, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts." Listen, brethren, the people of God who are able to enter into the kingdom of heaven, it is only when our hands are clean and our hearts are pure. It is only when we are close to Christ that we are in the kingdom of heaven. The uncircumcised and unclean, those that are walking contrary to God's word and God's way, they cannot dwell in the kingdom of heaven. They're cast out. The Word of God tells us that the Jews were cast out of the kingdom of heaven. The people of God who are serving God and are loving God, they are together and they are united in the kingdom of heaven. In Isaiah chapter 52, look at verse 7. What do they foreshadow? The watchmen in the Old Testament, who do they foreshadow? Preachers. Watchmen in the Old Testament are like preachers in the New Testament. Let me ask you this question. Do preachers usually get along with each other? Do preachers usually get along with each other? I'll just tell you a secret. The answer is no. Preachers don't usually get along with each other. Now, that is a shame and a disgrace. When preachers cannot get along with each other, when preachers are not united in the truth, when preachers are not trying to be of one mind and one accord, they're not following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. That does not mean that you compromise on principles of righteousness. It does not mean you compromise on truth. But the people of God, the preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the people of God need to be working toward unity. And the only way that we can be united is if we're united in the truth. That's the one thing that unites the people of God. Therefore, when there is division, because we don't believe truth is the same, what do the people of God need to do? Do they need to fight and divide and war with one another? Or do the people of God need to work together to see where is it that we differ in our understanding of the Word of God? I've been laboring with pastors in this community for a number of years, for about 25 years, and I have had the blessed privilege of seeing men of God that differed in many, many ways. I've seen them bridge the gap. I've seen ministers who differed greatly in their understanding of the Scriptures. I've seen them come together and dwell together in unity and bow down together and rejoice in the truth of God's Word. Now that's an amazing miracle. Did you know that? That's a miracle from God. Not just when preachers of one denomination can get together, but when preachers who have different backgrounds and beliefs and their denominations are different, but when those preachers can come together and kneel down together and pray together and love one another and be united together in a great portion of God's Word, and they're united and not fighting against each other, that's a miracle from God. That is what was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 52, beginning in verse 7, that when the kingdom of God came, that the watchman, listen carefully, how many of you have ever heard the expression, seeing eye to eye? That's right. See things the same way. If you see things eye to eye, if you see eye to eye on things, you're seeing things the same way. You're understanding things the same way. In Isaiah chapter 52, beginning in verse 7, the Word of God says in Isaiah 52, this is still prophesying the coming of the kingdom of heaven. The Word of God says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Did you know the number one thing that unites those preachers that meet together every Wednesday morning, the number one thing that unites us together is that we believe that there is one true and living God, and we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. That's a beginning of unity right there. That we believe that there is one Lord and one Savior, and we also believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and we will not fight over anything that is not of thus saith the Lord, but we will discuss things when we differ on what's in God's Word. It's a shame and a disgrace when God's people cannot and will not sit down and look at God's Word and see what God's Word has to say. A failure to look at God's Word and a failure to follow God's Word will always bring about division. And division is not pleasing to Jesus Christ. Being divided, whether it's in a family, you think it's pleasing to God when a family is divided? No, it's not pleasing to God at all. What was Jesus' prayer? That they would be one. Is that applicable to a family? Does a family need to be one? Is that the will of God? Is that God's ordained plan? I'll tell you, brethren, if you go back and study the family, you'll find that the Word of God teaches that when a man and woman unite in holy matrimony, that they too become what? They become one. We're talking about a husband and a wife, parents and children. The family ought to be one united body. The church ought to be a united body, one mind, of one mind and one accord. The watchmen preach, our God reigns. That's what Isaiah 52 verse 7 says. Now look at verse 8. Isaiah 52 verse 8 says, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice with the voice. Together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. You hear him prophesying about Zion coming again. You hear him talking about a new Jerusalem coming again. And he says, in this new Jerusalem, the watchmen that are in that new Jerusalem, they will see eye to eye, and they will sing together, and they will worship together, because they're united as Christ taught, and as Christ prayed that we're supposed to be united. I remember when I was a young preacher, and there's so much division among preachers, and I used to tell my daddy, in fact, I used to pray in church. If I was called on for prayer, I'd pray, God, please help us to all be united. I wanted all God's children, I want us to all be just one big happy family, you know? I want us to all just be united, just be together. My daddy would, every time I would pray that, he would come to me and say, son, I wish you would pray that God would help us to be united in the truth. Because there is a major difference in being united and being united in the truth. Unity without the truth of God's Word is a devil's unity. Unity without following God's Word will lead always to division. Unity without us following in the footsteps of Christ and being of one mind and one accord in the Word of God, other kinds of unity will never bring great true peace in the hearts and minds of the people of God. It's being united in the truth that brings about true unity. So the watchmen are going to sing eye to eye. They're going to sing when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Look at verse 9. Break forth into joy. What is the kingdom of heaven? What is the kingdom of heaven? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when the new Zion returns, when the kingdom of heaven is established, they're going to break forth into joy. They're going to sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Look at Isaiah chapter 65 very quickly. There is much reference to the coming of the church and the coming of the kingdom of heaven and the coming of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 65, there's a specific reference here to the kingdom of heaven, same thing that John saw in Revelation 21. In Isaiah 65, the word of God says, "For behold," this is God speaking, God says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth." What was the old heaven and the old earth for the people that Isaiah was writing to? What was the old heaven and the old earth? What was their state of bliss? It was the city of Jerusalem, literal Jerusalem. It was Mount Zion, literal Mount Zion. Now God says, "I'm going to create a new Jerusalem. I'm going to create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." Do you hear what the Word of God describes? The coming of the New Jerusalem, the coming of the Kingdom of Heaven. It's going to be a city, a holy city, a New Jerusalem, where there is unity and peace and joy. Still in Isaiah 65, verse 25, the Word of God says, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith Lord." Why wouldn't they do that? I want to ask you this. How in the world can a lion and a lamb lay down together? How can a lion and a lamb lay down together? How can they be united? How can they lay down together? Unless God brings about a major change in the nature of the lion and the lamb, they cannot lay down together. A lion has one purpose with a lamb. One purpose alone by nature, and that's to devour the lamb. How can a lion and a lamb lay down together? How can two men, one whose nature is like that of a lion and the other whose nature is like that of a lamb, how can men and women who have all different kinds of personalities, all different kinds of natures, how can all the people of God with all these different kinds of natures, how can they lay down together and be of one mind and one accord? The only way it can happen is when God gives them a new heart and they follow the Word of God and they are of one mind and one accord because they're looking to Jesus as their Savior to help them be and stay united in the truth. Because, brethren, when you get away from the truth, you're out of the kingdom of heaven. When you get away from the truth, you're out of the church of Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ is the pillar and ground of the truth. It is essential, brethren, listen carefully. It is absolutely essential that on anything we differ on in the Word of God, if we differ, it must be reconciled. It cannot be ignored. Ignoring differences in what truth is will always lead to a division in the body. The question is asked in the Old Testament, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? They can't. Can you have unity unless you're going to agree? No. Do you have to agree on everything in the world? No. But what do you have to agree on? You must agree on what the Word of God says. You have to agree on it, thus saith the Lord. And you have to compromise on anything that's not of thus saith the Lord. You have to swallow your pride. You have to give up your personal feelings. When it comes to the way that God's people are conduct their lives and the way we're supposed to live and the standards of truth and righteousness, if we ever compromise on those things, the unity is gone. Peace is gone. The kingdom of heaven is gone. And the church will be gone. Because just as when Achan had that Babylonish garment and gold in his tent, it brought about destruction upon the whole nation of Israel. When there are people of God that are in rebellion to the Word of God and they continue in that rebellion, and the church of Jesus Christ doesn't labor with them, or if they labor with them and they cannot be converted, if it is ignored, it will always destroy the church and it'll destroy your peace and you'll be out of the kingdom of heaven. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We better study God's Word. We better find out what the Word of God really says. We better find out what it really teaches. And then we better stand on what the Word of God says. And if we're not going to stand on the Word of God, then we can't walk together. We cannot walk together if we're not going to stand together on the Word of God. We will not have the kingdom of heaven. You can have a religious institution. You can have a social organization. You can have a civic club. You can have whatever you want to. But you will never be a part of the true church of Jesus Christ if you're not united in the truth. Go with me to the New Testament in Acts. Was there much unity in the book of Acts? Was the early church united? And did God bless the early church because of the unity? What was Jesus praying for in John 17? He was praying that they all may be one, that all believers would be one. In Acts chapter 1, the Word of God makes this statement. Acts 1 and verse 14, the Word of God says, these all continued with, there were 120 here. We have about 120 here today. Do you think we can all be of one mind and one accord? Do you really believe we can be of one mind and one accord on everything that's in God's Word? Do you believe that, Brother Dave? Do you believe we can be of one mind and one accord on everything in God's Word? I believe we can too. I believe that with all my heart. And these all continued, Acts 1, verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Acts 2, verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Acts 2, 44. Acts 2 verse 44 says, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Will the Lord add to the church when the people of God are of one mind and one accord in the truth of God's Word? Yes, He will. God will add to the church when the people are of one mind and one accord in the truth of God's Word. Turn with me in closing to Ephesians. Look in your Bibles, please, at Ephesians. When you're talking about unity, I don't know where you can go that will show any more and teach any more about unity than the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians concentrates on unity. Unity. But first of all, it shows there was division. Brother David, was there a time that you and I differed on a lot of things we agree on today? Absolutely. Absolutely. I love you with all my heart. And we've had some knockdown drag out. And the only reason that we're still together is because of the amazing grace of God and both of us striving together for the unity of the gospel. Striving together for the unity of the gospel. Believing one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, all that spelled out. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 1. Ephesians 4 verse 1. The Word of God says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, that's one long sentence. It's three verses, but the focal point is endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do you have to endeavor to do that, or does it come natural? We have to work at it. Priest and I have to work at it. My son and I have to work at it. My daughters and I guess sometimes we've had to work at it. I don't remember us ever having a problem, but don't you have to work at unity in your homes? Do you have to work on it? And when you recognize you got a problem, you better do something real fast to get it reconciled. Because if you're out of fellowship with your spouse, you're out of the kingdom of heaven. If you don't have unity in your home, you don't have the kingdom of heaven. Not the degree that you could have if you would have unity in the home. Parents and children, you need to be. You know, parents have got to set some rules up. And in order to have unity in the home, there are going to be times your children and grandchildren are not going to like you. Because the Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And if you want to have unity at all costs, you're going to have chaos in your home. You've got to have somebody that says, this is the way it is in this house. You've got to have somebody that will say like Joshua, as for me and my house, as I can hear Joshua now, as long as you put your feet under my table, you will do it this way. You've got to have unity in the Spirit. And that's one of the purposes of preaching the gospel. Come down in closing. I'll close right here in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. The Word of God says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the, what? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The rest of this book of Ephesians concentrates on unity and what we have to do to keep unity. And I pray that God will help all of us this morning to hear a message from God that we, you and I, in our homes, in our personal relationship with Christ, in the church, we need to be working together for unity. Brethren, I want to see our nation united. Can our nation be united under God? Well, good gracious, we used to say together, one nation under God, under God. I hope that God will help us to have one nation united under God, is my prayer for Christ's sake.